the innocent error in our quest for whatever the fuck it is we think we want. The error is the conditioned or naive expectation for fulfillment, the anticipation of being fulfilled. So fulfillment then is a contract. It's a dependency relationship. Because the constellation or the myth of one's identity is taken as a given, unexamined or superficially examined, and then fulfillment becomes a dance of acquisition. So that's the dependency relationship. And thankfully, there's more than enough snake oil to go around so that we can feel like we're getting our money's worth or making progress or advancing steadily toward a some imagined fulfillment, which is not exactly present, but may soon be. Good evening.
Hello.
And that, you could say, relationship or engagement with the present mystique of experiencing, well, it contributes to the notion of self in time. And self in time is, by its nature, repugnantly unfulfilling. But we don't notice that for whatever reason or reasons. So by not noticing that the fundamental imagination or burden of individuation is unsatisfying or unsatisfactory, that we conveniently or inconveniently overlook and then engage in an acquisition strategy moment to be a dependency relationship with circumstances, events, spiritual experience, purification, insight, magical powers, invulnerability, deep compassion, anything at all that's better or different than what I am now.
Sexual or relational prowess, money, there's plenty of things.
Prowess in all forms.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be.
That's right.
Spiritual.
That's exactly, yes. Right. Right. Prowess keeps us in the game as the unfulfilled bereaved. Okay. That was easy.
But you can still do stuff and just, I don't know, you still do stuff.
It has...
Walking in. It's,
yeah.
It means nothing and you still do
There's
stuff.
No real insight to be had. And so there's no implication. Since there's no real insight to be had, there's no bias toward any implication, meaning that you should be or do anything at all differently than whatever this is already doing with you. Even the notion of what could, should I do about things, myself, the world, suffering on whatever scale of suffering you may be privy to or familiar with, and there's more scales than you can cope with, of course. So, you know, whatever sincere, righteous, self-righteous commitment we make to the world is just a function of our own imagination. We create the value system for sentience, beings, passion, compassion, yogas, prowess. All of that is spontaneously imagined as a boundary condition in which one, either as the victim or as the chooser, the decider, the overcomer. And so consciousness is streaming and undulating in this most magnificent, you could say, beam of myth, which includes the presumption of individuation, self-will, birth, Big Bang, causality, and, you know, spiritual or religious mutants that you happen to be fond of. And then you are incarcerated, self-incarcerated, but not voluntarily so, involuntarily self-incarcerated by what it is that you value. Because what you value, its opposite is beneath you. So you create absolutely spontaneously by virtue of, you know, call it conditioned circumstances or unconditioned circumstances, who you take yourself to be in whatever world you imagine you're living in, according to your perception and interpretive prowess, which doesn't really belong to you. So you are actually appearing completely improvisationally and involuntarily. And yet, we will make the claim of I right in the midst of this. I will claim I all the way to the bank, all the way to the dojo, all the way to the zendo.
If your awareness is refined and you sort of ride that beam of absurdity, this undulating consciousness of myth, like you said, and are able to refine your awareness where you see the absurdity while you're in it, and you maybe don't create the construct of this sort of dualism where it's superior, inferior, right, wrong, above, beneath, that there's certain understanding of the bizarre nature of reality that you're not necessarily feeding into that beast.
Yes, all of that, except that depends upon you know, some kind of durability.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I want to be, of course, the survivor of my own insight.
Yeah.
And therefore the benefactor of it. So I can ride the beam with, call it, less suffering, with more elasticity, more humor.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we can see that the reification of self as the sentient being in love with everybody that, you know, wants to run this fucking show a little more smoothly. And fantastic, you know, sure, sign me up.
Yeah.
It's not really true.
But what is?
That's right. So this train is a bullet train to absolute obliteration, which is exactly what the present moment is. You can get off on any stop you like. Right? If you're not willing to have a, you know, face-to-face impact with obliteration, and I respect that few people are interested in such a face-to-face impact, well, even though it's a bullet train, you can climb out of the window anytime you like. Mm. Yeah, get off at any station.
Stick your head out like a dog.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So you see, even in the sincere right? Examination and reflection of my life as a sentient being, my feelings, emotions, getting whisked away, having my shit together, refinement of awareness, right? All of these are accoutrements of a dream.
A dream within a dream within a dream.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
if we value, if we value something, you know, as a favored destination or a favored accoutrement of the dream, then I would say one has stepped off the bullet train, gone back into the, you know, the lusciousness of self. Because because I really want to get this right. Right? Or I want to be, you know, relevant in a special kind of way. I don't want to suffer. I want to be an agent to relieve the suffering of others, even. Like, yikes.
Well, it's more alluring when you're doing well to claim the self. And, oh, yeah, well, I must be doing something right. I'm doing well. You know, I woke up feeling happy today. That's
The claiming, I hear you, and I just for fun would argue that the claiming doesn't give a shit how you're doing. It will claim the fuck out of you, whether you're on, you know, on a peak or near suicidal. It'll still claim.
It just frames it differently.
That's all.
It loves anger. It's great.
It loves it, yeah. Disappointment, despair,
find anyone you can,
frustration, no more will to live, you know, right, opioids on a park bench. Same thing. It's the same ego as the one that's like, gather and put small particles in the atmosphere, and because I can. The allure, the interest to be something, to be someone, to be, you know, a positive, sentient, go get 'em participant in, you know, the game of living and dying. That's like, okay, sure. Why not? Put as much coal on the fire of yourself as you can and be as relevant, durable, worthwhile as you insist. Fantastic. And all the while that we have, you know, set up a fortress of our own imagination, you know, the suffering persists, the unsatisfactoriness persists. Yeah. All right.
Cool.
This is hard to shake. You see, you know, sentience is arising involuntarily. It's not your sentience, right? You didn't sign up. You're like, fuck, what? Then it's like, oh, well, I may as well try and make sense of it. Okay. And, of course, you know, through our education and our conditioning, our family, our culture, our socioeconomic class, the privilege of being male, of being white, of being whatever you are or are not, you know, contributes to, right, the prideful sense of self, a prideful and durable sense of self.
Sure, but it also can give rise to this space that you're speaking of.
Yeah, yes, of course, yeah, that's right. I don't. Yes, I mean, yeah, this the a spaciousness in the midst of, you know, idolatrous chaos.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was kind of right? Going to use the same exact word.
Okay, can occur. Yeah. the yoga then, right, is a call it a recalibration or reconsideration of this ineffability, right? This undeniable, unshakable ineffability. Oh shit, what the fuck is this? Or am I? I mean, even that's going too far, you know, even what is going too far. But here's the presence of irrefutability, sensate, sensual, super sensual, transtemporal irrefutability. Oh my God. And once we make something of it, well, that's, you know, that's when the disappointment starts to flow. If we don't make anything of it, if we don't reduce it to a causality, right? Or a narrative. Or a cosmology. Well, then I would argue we can sip from the fountain, right? With a different quality of lucidity.
Now, do you think that this is merely just a space to tap into something that's that maybe is not quite so worldly? It's almost like, oh, I've reached this place of moving through space at 6,000 miles per hour around the sun, and I have no desire to hop off the planet, but inevitably I am, because that's just, we are all going to die. Absence is real, and like, let's just feel it in what it is right now. Here I am. That's I think, mm-hmm. or maybe not. But oh, maybe that's merely just a place to recognize something that's sort of in the shadows, or maybe it's too blind, I can't see it.
Yeah.
Do you know where I'm going?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Right. This can feel like a placeholder.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or a portal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like right. Because imagination is so fecund and profound that imagination always senses. Intuits boundarylessness.
Yeah.
So no matter where imagination might find itself, physically, somatically, spatially, it always knows there's more and other and else and whoa, right? Yeah, so that's why imagination can make it appear as if whatever this is right now is a vehicle, wormhole, placeholder, portal, and that there's still more ultimacy to come.
Oh, it's just a fraction of what's been tapped. Yeah, yeah.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so a sincere, let's just say, evaluation occurs. Because as much or as little as I might understand or intuit or appreciate, I know that it's no way that it's the entirety of whatever this can do. Yeah. So in some respect, yeah, that's absolutely true. But in another respect, it's like, no, this is it.
Yeah.
Not because it's something. See, if it were something, then you would have iterations, infinite iterations of more than whatever you're feeling.
Yeah.
But if it's not anything, then, yeah, this will do.
Yeah.
And you can flip between absolute porosity, which is, I give up. About there, no valuation. Absolute porosity is nothing. No value judgment. No narrative. No assignment.
Yeah.
No condition at all.
Yeah.
And that flips with the presumption of, right, being in a place-time.
Yeah. Yeah, sometimes I think this absence, like refining this absence, is merely just it's like we're in a testing ground for like death is like, oh, that's like the real party. You know, it's like you have to kind of like recognize it or else you're just going to not get to the party.
Yep. Yes. So
I want to go to the party.
That's right.
But maybe you're
not alone.
Yeah, maybe that's a trap.
Well, this is the party.
Yeah, what am I kidding? Yeah.
This is the party.
This is the pre-party. That's what I'm saying. It's like a pre-party.
I understand. Sure. Yeah. See, because we are capable of, you could say, registering. And we register through, you know, sensate capacity, what we call the five senses or imagination, narrative, language, and symbols.
Yeah.
So we reference.
Yeah.
And by referencing, we imagine ourselves to be in or of the nature of a certain condition. Yeah. That's not true, but we can still do it. Yeah. So if I do it, and of course that's streaming involuntarily, if I reference and therefore find myself in some kind of condition or position or coordinates, then my imagination naturally is like, there's other than this.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you feel like there's maybe some other techniques, but I think techniques is a little too serious.
It could be, yeah.
That there's like, you know, just things that we can fill up our days with that will give us a bit more of a, a settled romance with this
yes.
absence.
Yes, right.
Besides just the conceptual. Or that, like the words, you know, that
yes.
the awareness, sure, but like, how do you like boost the awareness? So,
sure.
When you do get to that moment of death, which I'm sure is going to be jarring in its uncertainty in a way.
Well, it's present.
Yeah, it's like, oh, death, you know, like, yeah, I can like say I'm like ready for it, but am I really ready for it?
Well, I mean, even when. With all due respect for what we infer by the word death, we still don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's the uncertainty, yeah.
Yeah.
So what would you say are like things that I would fill my space with?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Well, so you see what happens is the deliverable of a sensate existence makes it appear as if I'm, you know, now the product of or the enjoyer or the sufferer of time.
Yeah.
That I have a day. And if I have a day and I want to either be at a good party or inch my way toward a better party, yeah. How shall I conduct myself in my so-called allotted time?
Besides just marking it on your calendar.
Yeah. So, see, once again, that makes me or you or whomever sufficiently special as the product of imagination. Once again, I'm the product of imagination. I'm sensate. I'm corporeal. I am a creature of, you know, biologic rhythms, the day and the night, Brahma day and Brahma night. Therefore, there's a, you know, apparently a roughly 24-hour cycle of, you know, rotation. And, you know, during the time I'm sleeping, I don't necessarily have a strong question about what should I do with my time. Yeah. But while I'm awake, I certainly want to be as, you know, spiritually practical as possible.
Yeah.
Like, okay. It's imagined.
Yeah. Yeah.
But let's say it's imagined. Well, then, Jesus Christ, spend your time wisely. Why are you here?
Yeah,
I mean, you know, there's raps and people, wine. Yeah, so you see, it's funny that as we might refer to as cessation of self-animation starts to catch up with us, then the urgency to be constructive with my restlessness dissipates of its own accord. So I don't actually fill my time with anything at all. I just fail to notice that I'm alive in the first place. Mm. You see, the what would you say the animating force is for the presumption of, you know, individuation and duration, durability, relevance? It's imagination. It's just imagination. So once imagination is lit, and why shouldn't it be, then it can appear as if I've got, you know, time on my hands, and I want to use it in a judicious manner. So if that restlessness or curiosity is arising, it's arising as the right offspring of an idea. And then you do, in that case, do what you already do, or do new shit.
Yeah.
Who the fuck cares? You know, no one's nearly as interested in you as you are. And the day that you're as disinterested in yourself as I am disinterested in you is a happy day. You see, it's self-interest.
Oh, I have a lot of experience in this.
Yeah.
That's, I didn't realize I was so disinterested.
Oh, you're good. Yeah, you see, it's this, all right, involuntary arising of self-interest that you could say constructs or fabricates the idea of a self and time. Yeah. And that interest loves to be, you know, interactive. It loves a good virtual reality, which this happens to be, so we're in luck.
Seems to be pretty obsessive as well.
Very obsessive. Ooh. That's right.
Impulsive.
Yeah. And this is a very, you know, curious, and if we want to put a value judgment on it, you know, difficult or tricky orientation to snap out of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It can drive one mad.
And does. And I mean, does. Look at us.
Yeah,
we're all mad. We've gone insane.
Yeah.
Yeah. The pressure of conformist, let's just say the myth of conformist reality is cracking all around us, and everyone and anyone that has imagines they have some kind of influence, whether it be political or financial or whatever, yeah, is in a panic. Total panic.
I thought things were going pretty well.
Yeah. Well.
You like chaos. Yeah.
Things are going
to Yeah. Well. For you, you know, because you're small-minded and not very interesting, things are going pretty well. And I envy that.
So when people ask you how you're doing, small-minded and disinterested.
Small-minded, disinterested. Yeah.
I'm good.
How's your day going?
Good.
I'm going crazy. Yeah, I'm feeling pretty mad. I think it's got to catch hold. People have to start to being real with these formal questions. Am I good? No, I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Check.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lurching forth for, relevance, meaning, greater satisfaction, self-assessment, self-accusation, right? Constructive course correction. Mm. Yeah, this is profound. And we maybe don't notice that, you know, we're the product of this imagination. So if we think that we are the product of this imagination, and worse, if we're the author of this imagination, then it can get pretty gnarly. Yeah. So presence has its own texture.
So this gets back to, I guess, the question of the maybe what one can do with their days to be at peace with the madness, I guess is a way to look at it.
Sure.
There's ways to maybe feel, just feel a little bit more at peace with it, but like things that maybe you feel like a little bit like, oh, I'm really going crazy. Like it's not just, what's there to sort of, I guess it's, I don't know.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it is interesting.
Yeah. You see, because if the moment we want to have a satisfactory or cogent response to what it is we imagine is occurring, then we become a product of that imagination.
Do you think it's just as simple as just developing maybe breath awareness, as simple as that?
Well, those tools, breath awareness, mindfulness, jhanas, Raja Yoga in all forms, have their, place in terms of, constructive engagement with the presence of irrefutability. And it's possible that they can contribute to and assist with subtle revelation that learns all by itself how to rest in porosity without engaging the tools. And that's this. Yeah.
Yeah, it's nice to hear you say that. I thought that you'd kick that shit off the train too. But no, you're practical minded to a certain degree.
Yeah. I mean, we're not going to wean ourselves from what it is that we do or what it is that we value any more quickly. Because it's, the presence of individuation occurs by magic. The dissolution of that individuation likewise occurs by magic. So do magic tricks, which includes everything and anything. Do magic tricks. Why not?
Yeah, thank you.
And if you're losing your shit, do what seems to be right to get it back together.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Manage.
Yep.
Yeah.
We all do as best we can.
I get paid for sitting in a coffee shop. I'd be pretty rich right now.
Yeah. Well, even though perhaps not financially, you do have the wealth of sitting in a coffee shop.
You have more wealth than a lot of people that lose their asses off and have money in the bank, Mr. D.
In one sense.
You might say
certain availability.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With anxiety.
Well.
But,
the anxiety is there even with great wealth.
Yeah, that's another fun one, like money's going to somehow soothe your anxiety.
It's useful. It's useful to feel this before reaching a conclusion or resolving a discomfort or trying to be even a little bit relevant in the midst of emptiness. If you just feel this and you notice that your relationship with feeling this is, it's non-dual. There's no intermediary. You are immediately present. This is immediacy. And isn't that, it's kind of fun. I mean, this immediacy becomes kind of, well, playful and nourishing when I'm not, when I don't anthropomorphize it as self and then try to fulfill my idea of self, which is a distraction from, you know, the immediacy. The sense, the, you know, all the purification rites and rituals, and of course there are many and many more to come. You know, to be admittedly glib about it, they all resolve here. They all come back here to this immediacy. And the immediacy curiously discovers itself and the imagination of there being an intermediary folds. So you're of the nature then of objectless availability, objectless porosity. And thank God you no longer one, no longer I, no longer have anything to prove to myself. Which is the collapse of individuation.
Yeah.
And there's a, you could say, an organic fascination arises, which has always been present, but just gone unnoticed. And that fascination is completely innocent, motive-free, agenda-free, revelation of this presence. It's a shortcut then. Instead of, you know, wading through one's imaginative power, which is no different than being caught in a minotaur's labyrinth. One exits the labyrinth with no effort. You could say the reflex to imagine circumstances, events, and boundary conditions is simply replaced by revelatory nourishment of exactly this, the best party. Then this turns out to be the best party. There's no other party. Because this is not a place or a time or a condition. So the powers that are able to, let's say, convert irrefutability into a time and a place and a condition, and therefore be perpetually hungry for the best party, that collapses. So then this turns out to be the best party. Because you're no longer, one is no longer in waiting for something other. And then everyone can just fuck off. If you are not the product of anything, if you're not in a condition, if this irrefutability is a causal, well, bada bing, bada boom, you're done, you're toast.
Yeah.
we have a habit, understandable habit, of looking to sensual experience, mental experience, emotional flavorings for evidence of our, call it, liberation. And by looking at sensual experience, spiritual experience, emotional flavoring, etc., etc., then we congeal a world that's not actually there. And so we never find the ultimacy that we intuit is present, because we're looking to a body of evidence that is apparitional. See, if I want to feel better, think better, breathe better, meditate better, I'm in a codependent relationship with apparition. But without all those, this is it. This is turns out this is the best party. And I'm not looking to any evidence from experience at all to tell me that. You could say
you could still even be thinking there might be a better party while realizing this is the better party.
Absolutely.
Really.
Yes. Yeah, there's no, that's right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Feed the meter. Yeah. Well, this vacillates. See, it vacillates instantaneously. Not that it actually vacillates, but it only appears to vacillate between absolute porosity, which has no conceiving associated with it, and the infinity of conceiving. Oh, they're concomitant. One is not higher or lower than the other. It's just nested infinity. One infinity is the infinity of conceiving. The other infinity is like what? Huh? Excuse me? One's not higher or lower or before or after or a prelude. No, it's just like, oh, whew, boy, this can really dream up a fucking tornado, can it? Mm-hmm. And you see it more clearly how this, holy shit, this really fucking loves to dream. Mm-hmm. I might be the collateral damage because I'm a suffering motherfucker, but it's doing the dreaming. I'm not. I'm just, you know, I'm afterthought. I am cosmic flatulence.
But that's just in the kind of non-porous realm, too. Like in the porous realm, not that that's a realm, I don't know how to, what, but then there is none of that because it's just completely, there's no boundaries.
That's
it's
right.
Porous, everything's totally porous.
In absolute porosity, you don't take anything prisoner. You don't create objects, nor are you the subject. You literally in you know, call it free fall, but it's not necessarily down.
No, it's just even obvious on a very basic, like if you even look at biological, like everything's porous. Your skin is porous.
Absolutely.
Everything is completely.
Yep. Your bones.
You're not
your
like
thymus.
Some solid entity that's just, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, the whole field of what we refer to as phenomenon, you know, is just, it's pure porosity, vibratory porosity.
It always amazes me when I swim that I'm pretty much waterproof.
Yeah.
I don't get soggy.
Mm-hmm.
How do they work
long
on
enough to get soggy?
True.
But it's like, how do they make something of mostly water?
Because it's porous.
Because it's
magic.
It is.
But it must be magic.
Yeah, it must be magic.
Tension.
Yeah.
There's probably plenty of tension inside, too.
Identity, the sense of identity is, I mean, how could you miss it? This is not nothing. It doesn't mean we know what it is or that it's something, but it's not quite nothing, even though it's absolutely nothing. And you're like, ooh, ooh. So you don't know what to do with it. You're like, ooh, I. You know, pick a letter. I. Oh, okay.
Pick a letter.
Pick a letter. I. Fine.
That's pretty good.
Me, Tarzan, you, I. Yeah, Krishna. Uh-huh. So that's the, you know, the reflex, which is again, not our doing to anthropomorphize. Irrefutability is incredible.
Do you think it's exclusive, though?
Exclusive in what way?
Just in the sense that, I'm nothing and everything simultaneously. I'm a speck of a speck of a, of sand, and I'm Krishna simultaneously.
Uh-huh, yeah.
There's no real difference. It's just the concepts that we're using to frame the reality.
Uh-huh, that's right. Yeah, I mean, if you go as you go, yeah. present to yeah. what's absolutely present, where's the difference?
Yeah.
It's only imagined.
Yeah, it's
fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel...
So the you could say having this conversation, you know, repeatedly is a way of in a sense, you know, reframing or recalibrating one's imagination from object to I'm not so sure.
A little tweak of the neurons.
Yeah, it is. It's a neuronal tweak. Uh-huh. Yeah, because the reflex to orient, is magic. And to see that the reflex to orient is magic and involuntary, impersonal, and improvisational, then you're like, wow, you find, you could say, a different asan. Relax, let's say, or free from the implication and the burden of the reflex to conceive.
This is really profound. Thank you.
Yeah. And it, you know, for some of us, you know, that have been in this recovery program for many decades, you know, and gone through, you know, one iteration of prideful failure after another.
Yeah.
At some point, you're like, I'm so weary of myself. I can't fix it. I can't surrender. I can't stay sober. I can't pray it away. I really don't know what to do about myself. And that's like, you've arrived.
Yeah,
you become, you could say, eligible or capable of being present to a complementary, right, texture of experience than to insist on the myth of one's life. And that's healing. It turns out to be healing.
In so many words, you're saying it helps to arrive with a certain sense of desperation.
You're not going to risk yourself without that desperation.
Yeah.
You won't. You won't risk yourself without that desperation. That desperation is like, it's deep enough that you're like, I must risk myself because I can't do it anymore.
What I said about it's more helpful actually when things are going to crap when it seems like they're going pretty well. Who's interested in this show?
Yeah.
Up there and play the game.
Yeah.
Winning.
It's very magical, right? Winning, losing, despair. Yeah, it's too strange. I don't think it's so accurate, you know, for certain overly demonstrative Dark Night of the Soul fuckers to, you know, suggest anything is a prelude to this. Fuck you. You know, you had the reason you had a dark night of the soul is because you're a flaming fucking egomaniac and you go down hard. But that doesn't mean everyone is.
Nobody's as
No one's as bad as you. Yeah. You know, you don't have to whip up a overly dramatized crisis of self to slip between the cracks.
Yeah.
You don't. Yeah. However, some, you know, failure, some maturity, some magical impulse starts to sneak in and assists one in, you know, taking certain risks.
Oh, he went out in a blaze of glory.
Yeah.
Who gives a shit?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, blaze, whatever.
Yeah.
What?
Blazing Saddles.
Blazing Saddles. Farted his way to Nirvana.
Hey, match.
That's a new yoga. Modern yoga. Yeah.
Yeah.
The order of the blazing.
Yeah.
And it's
when you, as you get under the skin of how consciousness rolls, then you stop finding shit. You just stop finding shit. You know, wait a second. I have to resolve myself. I have to make amends. I have to, you know, commit more time to mindfulness. I have to. You're like, shut the fuck up already. You see, you don't do what? So you see, instead of actually winning or succeeding at a certain path of purification or yoga, what happens is you just stop finding yourself. And you had no idea that was going to creep up on you. No one ever gets anywhere by doing anything. You just, whoa, oh, you evaporate organically. That's how we kind of began our conversation. If you are inspired toward resolution, accumulation, satisfaction of some kind, you condemn yourself to a dependency relationship with apparition. So instead, you just disappear.
I guess these days I've been recognizing, you mentioned it a few times, the vacillation, this sort of the oscillation between, you know, spirit and self-aggrandizement, you know, and you, that movement, I think the more sensitive you become to this reality, this absurdity that you're speaking of, the oscillation can seem a lot more rapid.
It can.
It can seem, well, maybe it feels that way, like
sure.
the way that the mind is working, the way
yes.
I wonder often, because I haven't really experienced it, the cumulative effect that can occur when you're able to sit in the absurdity or sit in the absence for long periods of time without that.
Yeah.
Then what's going to happen then? Like, what would the party be like?
Right.
So I think where I'm at maybe in life or in this sort of dance.
Yeah.
I'd like to be able to sit in that absence for really long periods of time without stepping back into this shit worlds of you know, ego and construct, but I suppose that's where these yogis come in for me in my life.
Definitely.
It's like, oh yeah, they offer these tools to be able to sit in the absence for really long time.
Whether
the fluff that surrounds the basic just sitting is illusory, I don't know.
Yeah.
But the reality for me is, I gravitate towards these tools.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, even look at that as a as a grand adventure
mm-hmm.
of agreeable obliteration.
Yeah,
you're nuts.
Yeah,
you're like that fucking guy is actually agreeing to obliteration and wants to use constructive tools, whether ancient or otherwise, to foment that obliteration.
Yeah,
like that guy's nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, and of course that that sneaks up on you.
Mm.
Yeah, and you could say the tendency for and we're all very good at self-aggrandizement. You start to like, yeah, that doesn't smell right. Because it is intoxicating. Self-aggrandizement.
You move around, you're fermenting.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right. Self-aggrandizement, whether it's, woe is me, or I'm on top of the world, or I know shit, or I have yogic heroes that I'm emulating, whatever it is, right? It's like,
yeah.
And then you just naturally wean yourself, from
exactly.
it.
Exactly, yeah.
And that is by its own nature, let's say a capacity to just loiter in nothing special.
Yeah. Well, a lot of those same teachers, before enlightenment, chop wood, carry water kind of thing.
Yeah.
After enlightenment, I think that's that gist of the expression.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's nothing special. Like, just get over yourself.
It's all there is.
It's all there is.
So, you want to special it up, knock yourself out.
Yeah.
If you want to refer to it as dog shit awareness, who's going to stop you?
I like it.
But both of those, are reference. And this is reference-less. This is without reference. So being without reference, the revelation that this is without reference, you could say you're relieved of the habit or the addiction, the compulsion, to generate reference. So there's no right self-assessment, self-accusation. There's no objectification.
Easy.
Really? Absolutely.
Easy as eating a brownie.
It's as easy as eating a brownie.
Yeah, there's a knife in there. Okay. So we have
to. This is your sort of snacks.
Yeah, I decided to go healthy tonight.
Yay.
Someone left me a watch or something.
Well, what does your group do? Well, we just kick your ass into oblivion. Oh, well, I can't wait to come. Yeah, I don't know about that.
There's nothing but bloody stumps left by the time you're limping.
Yeah, it's just bloody stumps. Waiting for the cauterizer. We're so, seemingly oriented toward objects, subjects, and acquisitiveness and implication, sensuality, sensoriality, right? Future. We've got this, we're like victims of this huge field, undulating field of expectation and anticipation. And that drives us insane. But instead of being relinquished of the burden of that imagination, we busy ourselves trying to fulfill it. And that's just that's an extinction path. Yeah.
Let's go to objects to fix this broken object.
Yeah.
Rather than the source.
You know, what does Guy McPherson do? He's like, so listen, civilization goes to extinction as a tautology. I can't dismantle civilization, nor can you. And there's nothing that civilization can do to not go to extinction. Oh, so you may as well, you know, take up knitting. Be a little more generous with your time. Yeah. People that you love, just tell them, I love you.
Just a week ago, I was learning how to spin yarn. It's nice hanging out with these old ladies. And I spun my first couple yards of yarn.
Sweet.
Nice piece of wool. Yeah.
Nice.
House.
Yeah. At this point, in whatever this is,
we're actually probably doing it right now as we speak.
God knows what people are doing as we speak. But it's definitely a better party.
Yeah.
Family on the Bridge. It's a movie. Audrey said too, and she has a great imagination.
You know,
she's just like, I don't know what they're doing over there. She has a really interesting idea. And just to go in there in her head.
Mm-hmm. If one is fond of making, you know, predictive, well, maybe this is the time for simple pleasures.
Yeah. I sometimes wonder if that, we think we've made up a thought, something happened before that, and we can't really claim it, even if it's ridiculous or if it's brilliant.
The claiming,
maybe the ridiculous one.
The claiming is self. It's not that the self claims. Claiming is self. And that's how, let's say, restlessness is spawned. Claiming is self. Now there's, right, a composite, individuated composite in space-time. And the collapse of that claiming, well, it knows, let's just say it knows better than I do how to blossom. Yeah, I wouldn't know. I mean, I'm the product of claiming, you know, I have no agency. So the magic of claiming knows way better than I do how to, let's say, restore itself to sanity. And that just means, you know, we hang out and hang on and try not to kill yourself or anybody else for as long as you can. And the magic of claiming will mature into the magic of ferocity. And if you feel like, you know, mindfulness and anapanasati and alternate nostril breathing, you know, is worthwhile, yeah. Get on that. Yeah. You know, jump on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just gonna stick with pounding brownies.
It was nice. Yeah.
I haven't practiced that.
You know, yeah. I mean, you take a 30-foot long or a 40-foot long piece of silk, and you start chewing on it, and yeah. A couple days later, you know, you're like, woohoo! Pulling that silk out your ass.
Yeah, amazing. Yeah, amazing what imagination can muster out in the name of spiritual.
That's
wisdom.
Right. That's right. Get your neti pot.
Yeah.
Uh huh. Yeah.
So, some seem a bit more practical than others.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. An asan of nails and a 40 foot long piece of silk. Mm. You know, you'll be an interesting person.
Yeah. Exactly.
Well, no one watching. So it's just us.
Nobody?
Usually there's someone watching.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, it's just holiday week, any party there seems to do.
I'm sure.
There's much better parties.
Yeah, I would watch. If I wasn't here, I'd be watching this.
What is it?
If I weren't here, I'd be watching this.
I like when I watch sometimes, I'll come late on purpose.
Uh-huh.
Interesting.
So you could get both mediums?
Crazy, I don't fucking know why.
Just because I'm crazy.
I want to be on time, you know. Even if it's virtual, I'm like, no, no.
Sometimes I wish there were a button I could press to turn the story generator off.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes it turns itself off, and it's really cool.
Sure.
Because then that streaming has a certain easefulness to it.
Yes. Just without your...
Uncontrived easefulness.
Without your codependent volume control.
Yeah.
And then just turn the volume down.
Yeah.
It sits on the shelf right next to the left-hand smoke.
Yeah, and you just whip it, you know, right out of your pocket. Like, oh, yeah, I forgot I had this. Yeah. Oh! What? Oh, oh my goodness. There I go. There I go.
Yeah. Or just say very simply, shut.
Sometimes it obeys, sometimes
quiet
not.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. I mean, attention is, you know, vital. Attention is nuclear. It's like, give me something. Yeah. I'm hungry. Give me something.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, yeah. Fuck. Yeah. Well, Jesus, okay, let's see what we can do. You know, so it's kind of like giving a child the right kind of, you know, interventions to satisfy the hunger of the raw power of attention. And sometimes that attention will feed off of you through the vehicle of imaginative projection. Yeah. So this is you could say it's a way of...
Kind of like getting the apes to come out of their sleeping.
Yeah. So here's this urgency of attention. It's a hunger. Really kind of like a, you know, it's like an undulating hunger. Feed me. Feed me. Feed me. And you're like, this fucking thing is incessant. It's insatiable. Insatiable and incessant. And so if you don't give it something constructive to do, well, it will destroy you with shitty thinking. It will, because it doesn't care about you. It's just like, feed me.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, fuck, wow, this thing's really hungry. So then, you know, these yogas, all the yogas, including this bizarre one, is a way of, it's like, okay, how do we feed this fucker?
Yeah, like the little...
Without entrapment.
The plant on Little Shop of Horrors, you can't just give it plant food. It's just like, no, I want...
No. Flesh. Yeah, I want meat. Feed me. Yeah, that's what... Yeah, this
like,
one...
Shit back, and I'm like, no.
This wants flesh. This wants blood. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Lots of places to feed.
Sure. It's not a question of, you know, controlling one's mind as, you know, Patanjali-esque, right, yogic schools would have you believe, you know, Iyengar Hatha Yoga, heroic, right, heroic gestures.
Mm-hmm. But isn't that where a lot of the irritation comes from? Our overlay, which is the conjurer of, let me tell you a story about what just happened.
Yes.
And then that story could be a happy one or it could be a miserable one.
Or
anything in between.
Most of them are irrelevant.
Yeah.
Because you can see that, you can see that, you know, let's just say you're present here and you can't remember a single story you've told yourself for the last 60 years. Not a one. Not a one. And yet I can I can say, boy, I've really been, you know, beleaguered by a lot of stories. You're like, yeah, maybe you have.
That would be nice to believe, but what's with the memory, though, that recounts? What if it were all wrong? Would it be something?
It is all wrong.
I'm so convinced, though. That
that's right. You're convinced that your memory is providing you with accurate information. Yeah. But it's not. It can't.
Yeah. I refresh on a regular basis.
All you are, and not to single you out, though I'd like to, all you are is a product of distortion. That's all of us.
Yeah.
All that you are is
amplified distortion.
Is a product of distortion. Imagining that you're cogent.
Your signal to noise ratio sucks.
Your signal to noise ratio is bad. And yet we're capable of ignoring how much noise there is, and we think that we're actually made out of signal. You don't have a memory to fall back on. Not a one.
And yet everything we see is based on past experience. I can't see what's here because it's all based on a story of what happened before. I don't see what's really here.
If your so-called attention is fucking this up by being, you know, willfully, being a willful narrator, then yes, in a sense, you don't actually see or feel or sense what's present because you're a product of, you know, being secondhand. You're a product of distortion, of narration. Yeah. Being that one should strive to be on point because it's all distortion.
Yeah.
There is no real. There is no pristine for you to, you know, get cozy with.
Filter this fucker.
Yeah.
Filter the signal.
Yeah. 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 No, there is no such thing.
I'm like trying to catch a wave.
Well,
keep it the same.
Well, I think that this is the idea of like neuronal tweaks.
Uh-huh.
You know that it's like you're just tapping into the wrong signal.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The
endless pursuit of the best, better signal.
You're satisfied with the white noise? No, dude. There's like this whole like amazing orchestra over here. Like,
uh-huh.
Get with it.
Yeah.
That can take a bit of yeah. Just really like a revolution of unnormalizing yourself with the sickness.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's why they call it yoga.
Yeah.
Denormalization.
Denormalization.
Just denormalization. That doesn't
work. Cheers,
your dog
yeah.
works you.
Yeah. That's right.
Cheers to being the weird bird.
Even though I didn't read it, but it was an interesting title, Nothing Much from Nobody Special.
Okay.
Ram Dass, you know, when he got to a point where it's like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
We've been fluffing this up for a while.
Mr. Fluffernutter, yeah.
Mr. Fluffernutter. Oh, he's a sweet Fluffernutter, though.
He's done great works.
It's, you know, there's a point where you have to kind of give a nod to the, just like, there's steps to like the absurdity.
You know, I like that title anyway.
Yeah, yeah, I do too.
Because when I, which I tend to do, I make myself special. I'm setting myself up for a crash. You know, oh, I feel really good because I, whatever, whatever. Then the next day I say, shit,
well,
I can't do anything. And then it's like, you know, you claim something that's yours and you try to, you know, then claim the crap saying, well, maybe I need to do something else. And I.
Well, right. So, right. You can see that.
I know. Why don't you smoke another doobie?
Yeah.
Wait, did you just smoke without it?
Yeah, really.
No, it
just went right out.
Oh, that's what this is.
She said pound brownies.
Pound, yeah.
Yeah, really. The brownies are active, man.
So much
the
natural now.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. I just resort to stoner. See the pause, which is the nature of present experience. There's no memory. You're not the product of memory.
Yeah.
Here it is. So that reflex to refer to self, which is, call it, you know, a movement, an etheric gesture of, you know, memory association. You're like, yeah, no, I'll pass. I don't have a single memory. Maybe a million on tap, which is just distortion. And like, I don't have a memory.
Yeah, memory is a concept. Do you think there's like imbued lesson from experience, like a.
It anthropomorphizes that quickly.
Yeah, no. I understand. I know that it's traps, and I'm like more so than the past times that I've come in here. I'm resonating with your with your vibe, but it's just a struggle, you know. I'm just being real.
I get it.
It's interesting because I'm like. You know, have these experiences, and I would be like, "Oh, it was for something." It's like, fuck, like, why did I like deal with like this woman for so long?
And she with you?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
Fucking meeting going. What the fuck was I thinking?
That's
Coda.
I can total defeat and just bring them here.
That's
we married and had two separate houses.
So here, look, feel the texture of right bringing memory, emotional context, relevance, right, meaning,
toss it in the fire,
right. At which you do, any of us does, miraculously.
Yeah, it is a magic trick, yeah.
It's a total magic trick.
Yeah.
Then if it becomes binding, then for a time, you or anyone becomes the product of that imagination or of that mood.
Yeah.
Now I want to resolve the past. I want to, you know, work more productively in my future. I want to figure out why I am the way that I am and figure out who's to blame and then, you know, go scribble shit on their grave if they're not already dead. You see, but here's this. There's no fucking memory.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when we're accessing what we call our memory, we're occupied.
That's right.
What are we occupied with?
That's right.
Once removed from...
Distortion. You're occupied with distortion. But the distortion field is very seductive because it's highly pixelated, comes in smell-o-vision. You might even get a woody or a resentment. Your heart might beat faster or slower. And so, you know, you conjure incredible reactions to the shit that you imagine. Yeah. So it's really engaging. You know, this is highly pixelated smell-o-vision. And we are olfactory-based.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Yeah.
Something happened to me. It wasn't good. That's right.
Rational, like, no.
Something happened to me. It wasn't good, and it's her fault.
Fault part.
You know what I mean? So if it's not, you know, the last lover or professor or merchant or parent or sibling or whatever, you know, or God.
Don't bring God into it. Come on.
Yeah, right. Well, let's leave God out of it. Yeah. Give her a break.
Give her a break.
I mean, after all, it's just a few days after, you know, Christmas, so.
Mm. Yeah.
It kind of really takes you around when you realize there is nobody to blame.
Yeah.
When you start to lose the ability to blame, it's different. Or you can still try, but you just don't quite have the faith and the veracity of it.
I suppose my evolution has been like blaming others to blaming myself, and then just blaming the one. Yeah, it's like it's all the same.
It's like a lifelong meta retreat. Right. The only thing I have left is, you know, kindness for all sentient beings. That's all that's left of me.
All of that shit is just it's all distraction.
Even kindness.
It's the shell game.
Sure.
It's a distraction. Here, look at this. Here, look at this. Oh, want to buy a watch? Got a watch?
Oh, yeah.
Want to buy a watch? It's one of the first things that you put out there. Fuck.
Yeah.
They'll just sell you watches forever.
Yeah, it's got a lot of watches.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I remember old Sesame Street sketch. Like a little like innocent, innocent little puppet walking down by the docks. You know, it's foggy. It comes upon a trench coat. You know, mysterious man. And, and he just opens up his trench coat and it's filled with letters. And want to buy an S.
Oh, nice, nice. Yeah.
Now we know where Jeff
was
from.
I think
there's
a Sesame Street. Shannon White. That's good. I'd like to buy a vowel.
Yeah, I'd like to buy a vowel. Mexico. Can't spell a word without vowels, so.
Unless you're in Hawaii.
Yeah.
You sense the urgency which is whatever you might want to refer to as present or past, and either of those are really very accurate. You feel texturally the hum of your own being. And you, without being convinced by anything or anyone, this is all this is. Jeez. And then there's a natural weaning from orientation. You don't orient as self or person or memory or gender or whatever. And it's got you. You can't even imagine anything that requires resolution. There's no history. There's no personal history. There's no complaint. There's no regret. Maybe a little embarrassment if you're an asshole like I have been. So yeah, all right, but you know you have to get over it. You have to get over it.
I mean, I have no memory.
Yeah, really, you have to get over yourself. Uh huh. This is the party. This is the end of you. It's certainly not accomplished. Nor is it causal. So you can't refer to anything that you may have done skillfully or unskillfully in the so-called past to have, you could say, delivered you to your own infinity. because everything that appeared prior to now, including whatever you imagine is appearing now, is apparitional. Nothing remains of you to defend, to justify, to orient, clarify. Nothing. And that turns out to be for free. Turns out freedom is for free. Who would have thought? And there's vacillation. Absolute porosity is always what this is. And extraordinary distortion is also always what this is. Okay. When you find yourself without presence, pardon me, without preference, find yourself without preference, then it just doesn't matter what this is. You don't get gold star for resting in porosity, and you don't get homework by resting in conceivability, the angst of conceivability. You don't have to do anything about the angst of conceivability, and you don't get a gold star for resting in porosity. Now there's no preference.
It happens to appear is just what it is. Not pushed and pulled by averse or attached.
Yeah, and even if what we call aversion or attachment arises as right. then it's like, go figure. Go figure.
Get behind it.
You see the...
Let it be what it is.
Not even that. No.
Well, yeah, because you're not getting behind.
There's
no person to get
behind. Everything is a total fucking surprise to you.
Yeah, because that self that we speak of as if it's solid...
May appear as
solid and then may just simply not even be a factor.
That's right.
And then be a factor again.
Wax on, wax off. Who asked you? Really? You see, then it's funny that being willing to either be the dupe of porosity or the dupe of samsara from moment to moment, you're not in the game any longer as someone that is anticipating, preempting, trying to remedy or solve. You're like, fuck it, porosity? Go ahead. You know, terrific. Oh, boy, you're fucked. Like, what am I going to do about it? You don't purify your behavior.
Yeah.
Oof. What would be the point?
If I had a memory, I just remembered something.
Uh-huh.
Those periods of... self-loathing, you might say, or suffering, whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
decrease.
Yeah.
There might be an episode that lasts 10 seconds.
Sure.
And then something inside that smiles as it witnesses and sees it.
Uh-huh.
Something.
Yeah.
I won't even call it a self.
That's right.
But much shorter.
Sure.
As opposed to the one that really sticks to the narrative.
Yeah.
And has that strong sense of self that's... it's in there somewhere.
Yeah, by magic, unbeknownst to you, despite all your efforts,
right.
You've become nourished by porosity. Mm-hmm. And so being self-loathing, right, is like, what up?
I have to look that word up. I used it without even knowing what it exactly implies.
Which word?
Did I say loathing?
Self-loathing?
Yeah. Because I was thinking of a book or something. Fear and Loathing.
Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas on the campaign trail.
Hope it doesn't
trail.
Look like that.
No, but certain words pop in.
Like an alligator.
Who knows if it applies or not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're privy to novelty. And being privy to novelty, you don't spend, or you spend much less energy and time trying to reconcile the imagination you just had.
Yeah, that's right.
Because, hey, guess what? This is brand new again. I mean, like, completely brand new again.
Yeah.
And you're privy to novelty, and that's not just, you know, a fanciful imagination. That's the revelatory fact. And it's textural, it's felt. Mm-hmm. Shit. And by being privy to novelty, you become nourished by novelty, and so the reflex then to self-aggrandize in all the ways that we're capable of doing it, they're just like, I don't think so.
Less.
Much less.
Less staying power. Right?
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah.
Or hit from it.
And then it gets even stranger because for the longest time, you know, let's say we're inspired or motivated to heal from the disappointments of the world. And that's a cogent motivating factor for a while. But then you're like, what world? And so all that shit that we were once motivated by is like, huh? Enlightenment? What the fuck? What? You see, you don't have a past or a present or a future. You don't have any motivating forces anymore that once convinced you that you should behave a certain way, and you're like, I really can't find myself. I mean, because I was for the longest time proud of all the things that was wrong with me, so I could justify, you know, becoming better. Now it's like, huh?
Instant graduation.
Yeah, just gone. Oh, boy. Straight fuck. Up. And everyone else you can see is running around like a self-aggrandizing robot. You can see it in the face and the body language and in the use of, you know, vocabulary and the urgency and the exploitation. You're like, oh, you know, I'll wait outside.
I guess that's the value of pulling the fool card.
Yeah.
What good is the fool? You know, he's not attached to any identity element.
Yeah, he's dancing like, on the edge of the cliff.
Call me dumb, call me brilliant. I'll say or do or be or whatever, or not say or do or be. And that's sort of the antithesis to the ego that wants to put the best impression.
That's right.
Get the best pay, you know, for the best job.
See, porosity. Whatever, you know. Porosity is the cessation of being an impression monger. You're no longer claiming or craving impression.
Yeah.
That's fucking dangerous. Because what we call the self or the ego is based on, right, the willful engagement with the impression factory. And you're like, I don't think so. Hey, would you like an impression? Like, you know, a watch or a letter? Like, oh, no, I'll pass. You really? You don't want an impression? No, not really, no. Not interested. You see, and then that reflex to derive from experience, right? To tell you who you are, where you are, what you are, how valuable you are, whether you're making progress or not, whoosh, gone. There's no deriving reflex from experience. Now you're in trouble.
Yeah. I'm just considering the motivating force that exists, what feels like sincerely to, like you said, just be kind and generous to the world or to to the community that I live in,
of course,
Shamanic, be a part of the dance.
Shamanic practicality.
Shamanic practicality. Yeah, okay.
Castaneda wrote it as, you know, controlled folly.
Okay, controlled folly. I like this, yeah.
Not in a demeaning
manner. Yeah.
But like...
Just a, like that word. Yeah, we're just playing with the absurdity. We're enjoying this, like, bizarre.
If you have the capacity to be generous or forgiving or understanding or add a little brevity, you do. You contribute the best of yourself to whatever circumstances you're in, if you're in the mood. If not, you know, get the fuck out. Leave the muggles to their own, you know, shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's nice. They're not exclusive.
That's the other part of the easefulness, that one who perceives, whoever that is, the judgmental storms become shorter too.
Sure.
Yeah.
And while you kind of like look at the folly of that, like, oh yeah, that's me.
But these motivating forces, I could see it's just endless traps in assuaging the more baseline.
Conceiving anthropomorphizes.
Yeah.
Now you got something to do, and you better hurry.
Yeah, I guess this is the oscillating force that I'm talking about too.
Yeah.
It's like, is that really why people go like retreat into ashrams and monasteries?
Uh-huh.
You know, because it's like, it's just too alluring. It's too
can be.
So yeah, I have to sit with this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's.
Present experience, oddly enough, is more evidence of your liberation than your incarceration. But that's a shift in confidence.
Yeah.
Because we are more convinced that present experience is evidence of my unsatisfactoriness. Because of the habit of narrative implication.
The habit of being human.
Call it that.
Yeah.
And claiming all
the habit of claiming
all the good parts.
Yes.
Because if you claim all the good parts, then you go, what the hell is this? Something must be wrong.
Okay.
But claiming the good parts, that you end up blaming something, right?
You
claim something.
It's unavoidable.
I'm just streaming right now. So.
Yeah.
It turns out that present experience is not something that delivers unsatisfactoriness and therefore the need for intervention or the need for recalibration.
Yeah.
Present experience is actually delivering the evidence of your liberation.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. The tendency to immediately filter it into a narrative is a trap, but it's also so it's what seems so natural, trying to make sense of this world. I'm trying to.
Well, there you go. So that urgency, the urgency. Which to make sense of, which is, oh my God. What the fuck?
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you want to add the opposable thumb and the neocortex and the miracle of symbology systems, then this urgency, incredible urgency to make sense of or to give meaning to or to liberate in, just it's like a flame.
Yeah.
And you're like, whoa. When you see the flame as the flame, then it's like, go ahead, conceive at will. Just don't involve me.
Yeah. We're entering privileged arenas where the threat of survivability is not like paramount, and like these fears of like just staying alive based on your experience is not necessarily what we need to reference everything with, so we have this space to rework the way of speaking. There might
have been more liberation amongst the Neanderthal than there are amongst the Homo sapiens sapien. Comparing. Call it,
well, at least
you know, leisure.
Were real.
Okay.
I don't know.
Maybe they were a lot more simple because they were like, we know what to be afraid of. You guys are afraid of every fucking thing.
Yeah.
We had a lot fewer fears. They were concrete, and so we worked it out. Yeah. But if we could, you know, have a dais, you know, or a conference between, you know, Cro-Magnon, Neanderthal, Homo sapien, sapien, whoever Sam Harris thinks he is, you know, as the new man, right? And we could get together. It might turn out that, you know, our forefathers and mothers had this shit down. Maybe they were a lot happier. Who knows? There was more oxygen in the atmosphere. You know, their sensuality was alive and alert, and they weren't imprisoned by farming.
And they weren't nutrient deficient.
Yeah.
And
they were total paleo.
Quite a bit more time to just chill.
Yeah, maybe right.
They didn't have brownies, though. I say they didn't have brownies. They didn't have brownies.
Yeah. Mountain lion testicle.
Roasted
with crushed crickets.
Oh boy!
Come on, everybody.
Yes. More nutrient than.
We're good.
Yeah.
It's very, I mean, it's poetic and it's entertaining, of course, you know, to contrast and compare conditions. And that's part of its allure, you know, that we can compare and contrast and then have a, right, chemical reaction in our own being as a result of our imagination. Mm-hmm. It's like, whoa, this fucking thing's alive. I mean, this virtual reality really kicks some shit. This occurs with a bullet. And so we love it. Go back into the, you know, the allure, the seduction of conceiving and then having chemical response in our so-called body by virtue of the application of imagination. It's like a brownie. Same kind of cocaine. By playing around with the shit that we're playing around with, there's an invitation for a neuronal tweak. A recalibration of the nature of present experience so that one becomes nourished by and fascinated by porosity rather than, right, the allure of conceiving. No biggie.
Sometimes just doesn't cut it like it used to.
Yeah.
That, it's not what it used to be.
Yeah.
I'm not what I used to be.
It just keeps changing.
Yeah. And the reflex to make things about my idea of myself also relaxes. So the grasping and the projection of making circumstances and events and imagination about the myth of myself relaxes. So the cleaning and the grasping just... Because one is not... triggered or compelled to, may I say, seek attention.
Yeah.
Not necessarily from others, but even, right, inwardly, right?
Oh my God.
Isn't that wild? Mm-hmm. You're free from the reflex to seek attention from yourself. Wow. Because the way that we seek attention, you know, relationship-wise, that's kind of a holdover from an infant that imprints on, you know, parents or whomever and uses attention and virtual reality manipulative powers to get fed or get a laugh or get affection or get a nap or be held or made warm or have a diaper or whatever changed. And so that you could say that more rudimentary reflex of seeking attention for, call it, you know, survivability and warmth, well, in the adult, there's great spaciousness when I'm not seeking attention from myself.
the sooner we've properly dealt with our diapers and our other needs.
We've gotten as good at it as we're going to get. Right? I mean, even if you go to a Tony Robbins retreat 1,000 times, you're not necessarily going to get much better at your, you know, diaper issues.
I'm still pooping.
Yeah.
Making messes everywhere.
See, again, when you look at, you know, Tony Robbins and, you know, successful interveners of his ilk, all of that whole thing is entering once again into a codependency relationship with circumstances and events, which is unsatisfactory. Even if you do tell your husband the truth, or you tell your wife the truth, or you end your affair and go back, you know, to be the parent that you were meant to be, or I don't know, start a business, lose a business, retire early, whatever the fuck it is, it's like, I don't think so.
Not as some remedy of something, no. Something else.
Yeah, because once, if one is still interested, motivated by, you know, a remedial agenda, you're the product of imagination, which is a distortion field.
And no one would know. If they're looking from the outside, they could see some completely awake in a natural drama that's arising from who knows where. Or they can find someone totally caught up in story.
Yes.
And narrative and misery because they really want to be somewhere else.
Yeah.
And it would look exactly the same from the outside.
Uh-huh.
But yet, somehow, something has shifted. Not by some prescription or expectation. Just from,
no.
Untethering or from the narrative that attention seeking, which I never do.
I know.
He wanted to fire me from the group the other day just because my tooth fell out. And that's
yeah, I thought I had fired you. What are you doing here?
At Panera, looking for the piece of my
He's like a cat. Where's that? He's got 9 lives.
It's a really, really cool shape. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
It feels so good, though.
This is a microdosing thing. It's not a heroic thing.
Yeah.
You got to microdose. Because if it's heroic, you know, too much pressure can build up. You just want to microdose.
I've been just sitting here, yeah, just kind of ruminating on that sort of, slow and steady.
Yeah.
It's not the end all be all either. It's like it's more like an engine in a way. I don't know. It's like it's the train. It's you know, it's the engine. It's just
Yeah, the microdosing, let's say, provides a certain kind of absolute release in short duration vignette. Yeah. Short duration. That's it. If we try to linger, let's say, too long, or, you know, pardon my phrase, make it our bitch or whatever, then you see, it starts to become heroic again.
Yeah.
It's just like, yeah, no, just let it chill out, man. Just like dose, cool, dose, cool, dose. Yeah. Because otherwise the habit of engagement or the habit of mentation, you know, creeps in and starts to foment and ferment and then create objects again. Mm-hmm. So it's like 3 seconds of nirvana. Perfect. Like, yeah, just that's nice. Sometimes, you know, we have the tendency of, you could say, polluting our own revelation by objectifying or clinging or wanting to figure out how we got there and therefore what to do and no, just like, that's it.
Nothing to be done.
Just, whoa. And even the, you know, the you could say the gift or the repercussion of calling it a thing or qualifying it or what led up to it or what I'm going to do about it. No. Completely relaxed. Wow. That's enough. Yeah, so we, you know, that's, we meet as frequently as we meet basically to microdose together.
Mm-hmm.
What you do on your, you know, free time is what you do on your free time.
Yeah.